There he is.
Yo.
Yes. It was a conspiracy trying to stop us, but now we have beaten them. All right. What's up, Cage Cousins? How are you? This is the long overdue 247, UFC 247 cooldown. I got brain damage on here with us. It's amazing how technology is working. We are having to pivot and certain things going on in the world. I figure y'all have a lot of time to listen to podcasts now that y'all are stuck inside the house. We're hoping this is helpful. A lot going on. So we're going to do two things. Three things. We're going to talk about UFC 247 and thoughts about...
Wait, 247 or 248?
Which was it? 248, my bad. Yes. Shows how good I feel. 248. we are also currently watching this weird-ass Lee versus Oliveira in an empty stadium.
Yeah. Family stadium.
Family stadium presented by the U.S. Army. A little scary. And just let you know, get the elephant in the room, you know, the world after the Rona outbreak, you know, how do we deal with this stuff? And then we may even talk about, some new music came out that Jay Electronica and, featuring Jay-Z. Have you heard that, Brain?
No, I have not.
Haven't. Okay. Maybe we'll cover that at another time with Adisa. Did you watch all the prelims from 248?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, right as I pulled in.
Maybe not all of them.
Not all of them. Right as I pulled in to Seawolf, Bat-Garel, a.k.a. Batman Gargamel, who actually really enjoyed our post on Instagram. He thanked us for that. Yeah, he liked you saying what you said. Right as I walked in, he knocked out Guido Canetti.
Yeah, I missed that one. Was it nice?
Yeah, it was nice. It was savage. And I didn't realize this, that Bacarel is actually a Jackson Winklejohn guy.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, me neither. He was actually part of that whole the old squad there. So, yeah, very tactical. He got a savage knockout. So given bantamweight in the future, you know, I don't know what to say. Everything is riding on this Aldo versus Cejudo fight, in my opinion, because we just don't know what's going to happen, right? So we don't know where we're going with this. So we're going to try to figure this out. But I think the division is in good shape. I also think the flyweight, I don't know why people keep trying to say that it's going to die. I don't see it happening. But that was interesting. A lot of power, you know, out of a bantamweight. You know, this has been a division that hasn't always had knockouts. And now all of a sudden it's starting to. I think the flyweight is starting to become that. And it just continues to prove my theory, which is you got to have tyrants. You got to have these really dominant guys. And then the dudes who train to beat them, they start coming with a whole new skill set of monstrosity. And you start seeing everything change. And we'll come back to that concept. Did you see the next fight, Giga Chikadze versus Jamal Emmers?
No, I don't think so.
So
what was that? Was that a decision?
Yeah, it was a decision. Jamal was a wrestler who kept playing this outside game against this really savage Giga Chikadze. One of Rafael Cordero's guys, he had a real strong kickboxing game. Reminded me almost of Musasi, but with more activity and sort of seemed to have, with his legs, seemed to have Gokhan Saki power. It was really interesting to see that. In the featherweight. I'd really like to see him climb the ranks and fight the what is Ronda's guy? Ronda's old coach in his trade. It's on the tip of my tongue. Edmund. Yeah, what is this guy? Shabazzian? I want to see those two guys fight because he's going to be – that's stylistically a really good fireworks fight, and that seems to be amazing. Yeah, I don't understand what Jamal's game plan was to try to fight that fight from the outside against somebody who's so rangy like that. It seemed like in the second round he was able to kind of establish himself and threaten takedowns. But, you know, if you know you're a grappling guy, trying to throw punches from a distance and stay on the outside against a kickboxer, it seems like it's safe, but you're going to get hurt.
Right.
So I don't know
what that work.
It's not going to work. You're certainly not going to climb the ranks of the UFC playing that game. Next fight was Gerald Meerschaert versus Gilroy's own Darren Wynn. And I wouldn't say he's necessarily Gilroy's own, but he trains out of Gilroy, one of the AKA guys. I was worried about this. I thought this would be a very bad matchup for Darren Wynn. And unfortunately, I was right. No disrespect to Gerald Meerschaert. I mean, huge fan of Rufus Sport, and they needed this win right now. They've had some bad momentum, right? Paul Wilder just losing that war to Dan Hooker. Mind you, I'm biased, obviously. I'm always going to go for the Kiwi. But between that and the Pettis, you know, Anthony Pettis getting starched and, you know, and choked out, and Sergio having to move back to move to Bellator, you know, Askren being, you know, shut down the way he was twice, Tyron kind of moving out of there. I just, you know, I think they really needed that win, and Gerald showed it. What was really interesting is Bilal Muhammad was in the stands, and you could almost hear him yelling louder than anybody else, than the coaches. That's his training partner. It's kind of funny. He even posted about it. Darren Wynn was just getting pieced up by the kickboxer. And in my opinion, I just don't think at his size and his ability, I just don't think that the middleweight division is a good place for him. I mean, I understand the little man complex of trying to get over, you know, trying to be inspired by Daniel Cormier and saying, yeah, you know, this little man overcame so much. But that was a very different era. And we even see that DC had trouble with specialists later on, right? But I just think, you know, I think if Darren, in my opinion, you know, and I've talked to some of the guys that I've been helping out, you know, who train at AKA, I just feel like, you know, and this is not a popular idea with Darren Wynn, but I feel like if this guy, oh my God, just an amazing, are you watching this right now? Who is this? Dos Santos and Kuchenko? Dos
Santos, man. Kuchenko.
Oh, man, did you see that exchange, that takedown exchange and that roll?
Yeah.
And he went for the leg lock. What do you think? Let's find out. I got to figure out. Sorry, Cage Cousins. I'm just all over the place today, but you're going to have to accept me. I wonder where this Kuchenko guy is
me
from.
Me too. I think they said he was from
Is he Daggy?
Damn it. They said it earlier.
Yeah, of course, but I'm not listening to it. You know, I'm just really certain people, I just don't need to hear that what they have to say. Main card, prelims.
Yeah, Bisping, he was starting to win me over as an analyst until he started talking that, oh, I'd beat Izzy in a heartbeat nonsense.
Yeah, brother, come on. Again, this is the guy who thinks he actually still thinks he beat Anderson Silva. So I'm over it.
Well, I'm not gonna comment on that one. Anderson pissed me off that fight. He could have finished him multiple times, and he just wanted the highlight knockout.
No, not even that, man. He's afraid of hurting people. He's never been this. You know what I mean? All right, so this fool is from Propovit. You know what? Evan always be trashing me. He's like, yeah, it wouldn't be an episode of Sweet Didn't Butcher some person's name or town, okay? So I'm not even going to try to, like, pronounce it. Let's figure out what this is. It's Russian. We know he's Russian, okay? got it. Cool. We need to hire somebody who can say the names right. Okay, cool. It's like, why are you going to come after me? Don't come for me. Let's talk about the people who couldn't do it. All right, back to this. So I think Darren Wynn is way too small for 185. I think 185 is just full of killers who are tactical. I think 170 is the place of wrestlers who are putting on strikes. I don't see anybody at AKA who is in the UFC at the high level of 170 either. So there's no competition. I think he should spend the time not only working on his hands, because he's got the wrestling, but working on his kickboxing and his flexibility, and get those 15 pounds off, not just walking around at 200 and cut to 185, because he looks exhausted. But he really needs to, like, get his body to 185 so he can cut to 170 or get closer to 175. That would be my advice. But he was just getting pieced up in that third round and then choked out, you know? And you would think.
Did he get finished?
Or yeah, he got submitted, bro. He got submitted. Rear naked. After taking, he was like, he got caught with a shot. He tried to back away. You know, he turned his body to the side. He got pieced up, taken down. Mershot took his back, choked him out. So that would be my advice. I want Darren Wynn to win. He was in my fantasy league last year. If I don't see him go to 170, I'm not hopeful of it. If he proves me wrong, I'll be happy for it. If he proves me right, I'll be very sad. I hope this guy takes it seriously. Man, the kickboxing from this Konchenko Santos is just incredible. Ooh!
They're throwing down. Did you see that the ladies fight, before this? Silva and Moroz?
Yeah, no. Bro, these spinning techniques today. Oh, I'm with it. If that's what it's going to be, maybe we need to have no more crowds because these guys are killing it. Moving on to the next middleweight bout, which is interesting. Rodolfo Vieira versus Saparbeg Safarov. Probably didn't say the name right. Probably going to get attacked for it. I don't care. I think Adisa called this. He was like, dude, Rodolfo Vieira, when he gets on the ground, is just a monster. Look for it. And that's just basically what happened. You know, statistically, yeah, you don't even have to watch the fight. Let me read off three numbers to you. Round one, time 2:59, method submission. What does that tell me?
Tells me he dominated.
He dominated. 5-minute round. So, less than 2 minutes in, this fool got him down and submitted him and submitted a wrestler. You know, who believes he was the superior wrestler. Quite interesting. So, not a lot to say. It'll be interesting to see what this takes. So, what does this make for Vieira? You know, let's see, his ranking now is patience. So he's 6-0 in the middleweight, right? Now, it would be great if he had a ranking. You know, thanks, UFC. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be a great idea? Right. When you try to do that? Nah, we're not going to do that. Nah, that's responsible. Anyways, 6-0, I mean, if you put it in perspective at,
If not a top 15 come fight, on. Then another guy that's right on the cusp that whoever wins should get into the rankings.
Yeah, we put it in perspective. I mean, we've seen this before. This is not, you know, we've seen where this happened. So that was really intriguing to me. So that was a good display. And of course, you know, I'm sitting there watching the fight, and then every 5 seconds, like someone brushes past me, and I'm like spraying them and me with rubbing alcohol. So it's hard to stay focused. I'm telling the truth there. Mark Madsen versus Austin Hubbard. I'm not trying to be mean, but this fight could have happened in the tough house.
Right.
It was a war.
I think that was the first fight I seen.
Probably. I kind of was like, I'm going to check out for this one. I ordered some salad and was doing that. You know what I mean? And clearing tables. Because
Madsen was out wrestling him, but Hubbard was trying to get in with the strikes, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Right. And I was also in the middle of an argument with somebody, by the way, shout out to Ambrose. Thank you for coming through. Ambrose, I would say your last name, but I don't want to butcher it. too badly, but Akin Musteri. You may know him, really master trumpet player, jazz composer, lives in Oakland, California, went to in the illustrious master music instructor school known as Berkeley High, but he played on several Kendrick Lamar albums, whatever. He came through to the fight, which was a surprise about his picks, because we were going back and forth arguing because he was a John Jones fan. He wasn't convinced on Izzy. And I'm like, how are you not rooting for the Nigerian? He's like, he's not really Nigerian. He's from New Zealand. I said, bro, you're Nigerian from Oakland. What you talking about? Like, what are you? Like, I need logic.
Izzy was actually from Nigeria and then moved, right?
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken. As a kid. Yeah, and his parents moved him. It's not like he bounced and threw his hands up like, I don't want to be here anymore, right?
Right.
You know? And one could argue the area that he grew up in New Zealand, is the Nigeria of New Zealand. They, you know what? They're not going to like me saying that. They're not going to like me saying that. But I'm just telling my story. Anyways, Mark Madsen, Austin Hubbard, little kind of some bros. I was a little bored, but I moved on from it.
Yeah.
Got myself in the right mind to watch the fight I was really watching for. Sugar Sean O'Malley versus Jose Quiñones. Now, leading into this fight, Jose Quiñones said that basically he needed to cut out Sean O'Malley's heart and give it to the Aztec gods to help the people of Mexico. I was kind of here for that. I mean, I didn't want to really see some hearts cut out, but I did want to watch the – I did want to see this stuff. I was like, oh, this sounds terrible. I can't wait to watch.
Hey, but they're still 100% Rona-free, right?
Who?
Mexico.
Today.
They're talking about, yeah, put up the wall. Put the wall up now. We don't want you stinky Americans coming in with that corona.
Yeah, but again, that wall is not like – that wall is one-sided, bro. First of all, I mean, you've seen all the videos of people breaking through the pieces of the wall they already built, right? Secondly
– hey, I'm only going to say this one time.
Yeah.
Break the wall down! Burn it! I heard that one in the mountains in Nepal.
Man, I was yelling that all through the fight, and people were hella laughing. I was like, I learned that from Gotch Gracie. I was just waiting for the right time, and people would start crying, laughing. I'm like, yo, if you don't get that ref, like, oh, that's what it is. Shout out to Gangster Kel. That's what happened. Kel came through.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. I had talked to him that day, too, and he was like, I don't know where to watch the fight. And I was like, I ain't feeling too good, so I ain't going, but. You know, it's the wolf, bro. It's the wolf.
Yeah, he came through. He's like, I love this. I was like, yes, dude, we're going to do it. So that was cool. So, Sean O'Malley versus Jose Quiñones. Let's spit the three numbers. Round one, time 202, KO.
Quiñones, that head kick was nice.
Man, it was. Quiñones was throwing some nasty, nasty Mexican boxing, but I didn't understand his defense. It seemed like,
yeah, the defense was not there.
I just don't understand what that was. I mean, I've seen a lot of people accuse him of taking a fall. I could see that, but I also feel like at this level, it's possible that people are arrogant enough not to believe that they're going to get kicked in the head. We got to just accept right. that.
Yeah, it looked to me like he just didn't respect the power until it was too late to respect the power.
I don't think he actually believed that he was going to get struck in the head with a kick. That's what it looked like to me.
Right.
The way he was holding his hands and the way his stance was, he looked like he wasn't ready for a boxing match. He looked like he was ready to box and do some jiu-jitsu on the ground. I don't think that he was ready to fight a high-level kickboxer. Sean O'Malley, I will give him that. He did look like a 2.0. He absolutely looked like a different
fighter. He did. He really did.
He really did. I just can't. Yeah.
I mean, With him having 2 years off, when Nate fought Showtime after 2 years off, I mean,
man,
it's starting to really change my perspective on ring rust. I mean, it looks like these fighters that are taking a lot of time off come back looking like they're rejuvenated instead of rusty.
Well, and it's also, what is your definition of what are you doing as time off? Are you healing injuries in training? Are you partying? You know what I mean? And so then yeah. Ring Rust becomes a whole new concept, right? I think for a lot of that, Ring Rust is, you know, are you not staying active with your training? And that's what it's been in the past, in my opinion.
So Elizeu Zelseki dos Santos gets the victory.
Yeah, apparently.
El Capoeira.
Yeah, yeah. Although he ain't throwing.
That was a back and forth war, though.
Yeah, even though he wasn't throwing too much Capoeira. But that's, again, the mythology that nobody wants to talk about. Like, some of, like Capoeira doesn't really work in the octagon. I've yet to see some street fight stuff. People always want to challenge me on it, but then I'm like, okay, show it. Show me. I want to see it. You know, and again, I was going back and forth with this dude on Facebook about, you know, if that stuff work, if like Aikido works, show it to me. Again, you know, not right. every...
Like there's stuff that you could slightly mix in.
Right.
You go all out with that style and it's not.
Thank you. There's not a single style that you can use the entire methodology and be successful in a street fight or in the octagon with. I've yet to see it.
Right.
So this is about to actually tangent. This is about to be interesting. You got Quiet Storm, Randall Marcos about to fight Rebus. Rebus is the last person to be able to really touch up. What's her name? What's Fake Accent's name? The one everybody loves.
Fake Accent.
You know what I mean? Jiu-Jitsu girl that everybody thinks is hot.
Oh, Mackenzie Dern?
Yeah.
No. You're talking about was it Dern or was it
No, it's Dern.
Megan.
Dern had the fake accent, and then, you know, she would miss weight all the time?
Yeah.
You know, so, although I have been told from female fighters, I am a little hard on that because it is harder for women because they do have stuff going on every month, and so the weight cut's not as predictable. So I am kind of like,
dude, yeah.
I don't know anything about that, you know what I'm saying, obviously, so I'm just opening my mind to hear that that's a factor, you know what I'm saying? I can't just rule it
out.
Agreed. You know, if I wake up tomorrow and I'm a woman, I may have a different opinion. So, let's see. So this will be interesting. This is going to be a good war. Because, and again, Cage Cousins, you're just going to accept that we're going to jump around, but you're going to get more of this because look, you guys are going to be staying at home a lot. If you know what's good for you. Marcos has the really good takedowns through her judo. A lot of people don't understand her background being Persian from Iran. There's a huge Sancho kickboxing, judo, wrestling culture there. It's been there for years. There's a very famous picture of Henry Hooft. Do you know who that is from K1?
Yeah.
Of Henry Hooft.
And he's a lead trainer now, right?
Yeah. And he was taken, and there's this famous picture from the early 90s of him teaching a class in Iran, and there's nothing but women sitting down, writing down, because they're not allowed to actually do the stuff when a man's in the room or to be touched by a man, but they're all taking notes. And then you see where all these women go off to be as fighters, and you're like, yep, those notes must have worked.
Right.
So it's interesting. So that was, you know, that was fascinating.
That is crazy, though, just looking at them walking down and there is nobody in the stands.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like a Bellator event.
And it's crazy because, like, you know, I have it on mute now, but earlier, you know, as I was watching it, like the background noise, it reminded me of a fight on Tough or like the Contender Series.
That's because, what I'm saying.
You know, all you hear is the cornermen yelling.
Literally, that's what the wife said. She's like, oh, it just looks like it's Dana White's that's Dana White's Contender Series, I guess. But somebody paid for it. I was like, you're so wrong. You're so wrong.
Yeah, it's nuts, man.
So, yeah, it's interesting.
So they're saying 3-fight win streak, but ultimately she's only lost once in her career.
Yeah.
Amanda Ribas.
Yeah. So,
8-1. With 3 knockouts and 3 submissions.
Right.
That's nuts. That's when you know you're well-rounded.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess we now move on to the main event. as we wait for this fight to load
or
up?
Or the main
card?
The main card?
Yeah.
Yeah, because those first two fights, Alex Oliveira versus Max Griffin and Neil Magny versus Jing Liang Li, the youngsters were favored, and the OG showed them, nah, son.
Yeah.
It's levels to this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Although I do feel like back and forth war, but I do feel Max Griffin got screwed again.
I don't know. But he does come up. They don't like him when he goes to decision.
Yeah.
But I did feel like Cowboy won that fight.
But I feel like they completely ignored. Like, he didn't get a single round, bro, and they ignored all his takedowns. And I keep having this conversation. You may not like the current scoring, but you can't ignore it. Right?
Right, right.
So.
But I felt like Griffin was landing harder shots, but Oliveira was. I felt like he had more volume.
So if I'm looking back at this, right? Max Griffin had 62 to Oliveira's 61 total strikes. Significant strikes. Mm-hmm. Clearly, Oliveira had a 2-1 ratio, 40-23. Out of takedowns, Max Griffin had two of them to Oliveira's one.
But did he do much with those takedowns?
Well, here's the interesting thing.
I felt like he really slowed down in the third round.
Yes, he did. He was hurt.
He was gassed.
Here's the interesting thing. Oliveira passed two times on the ground, but Griffin reversed one time. So it's interesting how they'll score. I think you know those scores much better than me. I guess we could. Do you want to look at it by round to see if this is right or no? Or do you care?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I don't know how to do that, but
I do.
Walk me through it.
It's literally, you know, I love numbers. So on the UFC site, it really shows. Revis is just playing with Marcos right now. She's just playing with her. Okay. All right. So round one.
Is our good buddy Josh still in love with Marcos?
Probably. Oh, my God. What did I say? Oh, sorry, Cage Cousins. Marcos thought she was raw, threw a long-ass cross. Revis hit her with the leg kick, knocked her down, and immediately as she was falling, hit her with the right hand. Like, yo, I'm saying, yo, why do I not have this girl in the fantasy league? Rebus is the truth.
Right, that grounded pound is a little nasty.
Dude, but her striking and the way she takes it, I like how she fights, man. She makes me think she's a Sancho player. Probably isn't, but I like to think these things. Let's look her up real quick. Let's look it up as we get unfocused. Y'all just gonna have to deal with me. Okay.
It's called MMA multitasking.
Yeah, multitasking.
Because in MMA, you gotta multitask.
You sure do.
Right? You might be dealing with boxing 1 minute, and then you get knocked down, and now you're dealing with wrestling and jiu-jitsu and ground and pound. And
which is one of the problems of the scoring, right? The scoring as a boxing scoring that's got some additions to it, right? So it's a little, it's really outdated. Ooh. Yeah. Yes.
She is landing some nasty elbows and ground and pound punches to the head.
This woman is on her way. Let's see.
All right, Marco swept out of guard. Look, she's getting up.
This is from Carhina. What the fuck? Biography. Let's look her up.
And she's from Marcelo Ribas's team.
Right. Well,
so I wonder if that's a.
Maybe they're related. Although, yeah, I don't know.
I was
going
to say maybe a brother or uncle or a husband.
Right. Because who knows? Like, you know, Ribas might be like Johnson and Brazilian Portuguese. You know what I mean? Or right. Ramos. Like, just because you're in the same room as somebody with the last name Ramos, y'all may never know. You're not even cousins. Who knows?
We might not even be close to the same. I've met Filipino Ramoses, more Puerto Ricans. I've met Mexicans.
Oof.
There's Bobby Ramos, who's a Brazilian. That's a UFC fighter. Yep. Sergio Ramos, who's from Spain, that plays soccer. You know what I mean?
Yep, I do. Can we just talk how this woman just took Ronda Marcos down again? Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what is her style. Remember when they used to tell us their styles?
Yeah, that's weird.
Why is it they're not going to tell us styles anymore? I'm even looking on Tapology. Nothing, man. Let's see this one more time. I'll try a Google search and then I give up.
Uh-oh.
What?
I feel a sneeze coming on. Go away.
Oof. Okay, so judo, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai. So I would say she's got the standard standard Brazilian loadout, for lack of a better term. You know what I mean? When she was making the creative character, she was like, okay, all
right. Right.
So, yeah. Okay, round one, Griffin versus Oliveira. There are six headshots that happen for each fighter.
Pause.
I don't get it. It's not a pause, bro. It's a headshot.
That is pause.
No. Sorry, you're mistaken. That was a clumsy pause.
Cage Cousins, get him.
Yeah, vote. You can vote. Three.
We're gonna have a poll up. Is headshots a pause? Yes.
No. Yeah. Right. Three body shots for Oliveira. One body shot for Griffin. No leg shots either. So interesting. Who are they saying? Red? Okay, yeah. So red, blue. Got it. Each red, blue. Okay, cool. Interesting. So match there, fair. 9-9. Both of them connected to the dome. Six to the body for Oliveira. Three for Griffin. Eight leg strikes for Griffin. Oh, no, for Oliveira. Got it. Yep, you're right. Okay, he did win.
It's kind of crazy, too, that we have an Oliveira in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
Because you had Alex Oliveira last week on the first fight on the main card, and then tonight, Charles Dubronx Oliveira fighting Kevin Lee.
Right.
And Kevin Lee, man, what's up with him not making weight again?
Typical, bro. Typical, because he doesn't have his coach to watch him there to travel with him. It's typical. But he spends all his time talking, right? He gets one success, then he gets off the gas, right? I'm not going to make excuses for him, but there's just too much going on right now. You don't know if people are sick, right? You don't have your coaches. You're trying to manage your family back home. There's just too much going on. So I just think he needs to stop talking, bro. He needs to put together four wins and then talk again. Moving on to the next fight, Neil Magny versus Li Jiliang, the Leech. I was disappointed with the outcome, but I was going to be disappointed either way. I really like Neil Magny. I don't want to see him get fired. I want him to have a good career. I also like Li Jiang a lot. And it really just showed the skill set. It really just showed what you're supposed to do. When you have a very powerful striker who is loading up, you can just start crowding them, you know, and getting them against the octagon and using your grappling to just tower them out. And that strategy worked very well. So kudos to Neil for just, you know, taking the time off and working on his blind spots and staying in the game. You know, and now he made himself a contender again.
And again, as I was just saying, this guy had not fought since November of 2018.
Right.
Not a full 2 years, but that's a good year and a half.
Yeah, and that's a lot of time.
And came back looking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's
way better than he did in his last fight against Pontenevo.
Absolutely. And just working on what you need to work on, you know what I mean? And making sure it is what it is. So, I mean, kudos to him.
He looked good.
He looked great.
I think it was a great test for both guys because Jing Liang got to fight a vet, and Magny was like, yo, hey, bring it on, young stud.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was a good matchup. And I think Lee is going to learn a lot from this loss. And Magny, like you said, put him right back himself into that top 10 contendership. Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if they ranked him up there, but he definitely was – he was getting up there in the rankings before that loss.
Yeah, it would
in his last fight.
It sure would help us if they would put the rankings up here on their webpage. I mean, God, but what right. You know, what do we know? We're only the customer. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's like you got to do a search for it and whatnot.
Yeah, you know what, I mean? What are you guys doing? Come on. Moving on to our next fight, Beneil Darouche versus Drocker Close. This fight did not happen nearly the way I thought it was going to.
Right.
And there was a turning point where Drocker Close started out-wrestling Darouche, and he started landing, and he started really hurting Darouche. And then for some reason, he started dropping his hands and throwing punches that he didn't have any defense behind and overreaching. Darouche, being the kickboxer that he is, spending the time with Rafael Cordeiro, coming out of that sort of, you know, a shoot the box style, he knew what to do. He was ready. So,
right, and I love what he said in the post fight interview when Joe Rogan was like, "Yo, like he caught you, and then you ended up knocking him out, but it looked like you were rocked," and he admitted. He's like, yeah, I was. And he said, and throughout, he's like, there's this thing about me that when you hit me and it rocks me, I go into, okay, let's do this. Yep, and he said, and he admitted, it doesn't always work out for the best of my benefit, but sometimes it does. And today it did. And now the guy's on a 4-fight winning streak. I mean, he's making some noise.
That's that shoot a box style, right? That's how it worked for him.
Right.
It doesn't work for Gastelum. It doesn't work for RDA, but it does work for Darouche. And I feel like it used to work for Vanderlei.
Right.
But he lost his chin. There's only so long you can get stomped out before you lose your chin. Also, I think for Close.
And it's crazy that neither one of these guys are ranked.
Right. And what I appreciate about Drocker Close is because of his knockout and the way that he fell with his mouthpiece out, he has replaced Rashad Evans in terms of the stanky leg.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
Did you see that spinning back?
And then she followed with the kick. I mean, Rivas, why do I not have this woman in my fantasy league? What am I doing? Right. I need to write this down. She is going to be a pick. It's maddening, though, because I come up with these things, and then I know that they're great, and then everybody else studies what I've been up to, and they take them the year after. It's merciless.
Right.
It's merciless.
Merciless. Shout out to Kuna and C Fresh. I miss that IMP duo. Or I should say, rest in peace, Kuna. Anyways, yeah. Just talking about a little bit of Frisco hip hop. Nothing special. You young millennials wouldn't know nothing about that 90s hardcore rap.
No, because it doesn't have tight pants.
Yeah, but I mean. That was nice, but was it you the one that had said that you were more excited about Whaley and Joanna than you were about Izzy?
Well, we're not even there yet. We can't even spoil it. We can't even go there yet. Dude, we're not even there yet. I would just say this. Thank you very much to Close for replacing Rashad with that stanky leg. Because you're going to be talked about for years. And even though you had the better hairline, you should have known better. Okay, so...
You should have known better. Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
So, man.
Superman punch.
Yeah. What an amazing, amazing. Yeah.
Hey, I got to give it to Randa Marcos, though. She is not backing down.
No, she doesn't.
With the amount of punishment
she is taking. She doesn't, dude. She really doesn't. Um, She's durable, man. I give her credit, but you could tell her arm is fucked up because see how she keeps dropping it? Yeah. And that's not to defend the takedown, but I think something's tweaked. See, there's the judo, which is great. But I think that's the danger. That's that thing. That's what Jose Quiñones thought he was going to do. And that's where the danger is. Now, here's what's going to be interesting right here. Right here is the game changer. Because Marcos could transform this fight. Ooh. Ooh. You see that with the elbow? I was about to say. Or Rebus. Rebus just that there's always a cost. People are just not realizing now that these jiu-jitsu Muay Thai practitioners have now transformed it to make it so dangerous. We have seen that from somebody like Tony Ferguson, who's like, yo, if you take me down and put me on my back, I'm going to make your life hard.
And it's kind of a 360 because that's how it was in the beginning of MMA, that like wrestlers would take the jiu-jitsu guys down and the jiu-jitsu guys would be like, thanks! And then it got to a point where wrestling just really, the wrestlers negated the jiu-jitsu. If they were on their back, you had to have high-level jiu-jitsu to catch them with a triangle or armbar off your back. You know, whereas, and now it's coming full circle where the jiu-jitsu guys are back to going like, thanks! Cool, we'll let you, now you're in my world. They're not necessarily pulling guard like they used to back in the OG days.
Yeah.
But it's they're not fighting the takedown. They're definitely
no.
And you see how, I mean, Marcos initiated the takedown, got it, and was on top. And now Rebus is just transitioned that and beating her. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And I
putting her in a Kimura. Oh, man, that arm is bent.
I would wish, you know, Adisa was here because he would talk about this. My theory is that so much of it, and look how Rebus reversed that. So much of this is that the no-gi contribution that is really, you know, that so many people have become far more comfortable just really using these type of rubber guards and things like that. But I may be speaking out of turn. Again, you know, I am not the jiu-jitsu judoka that, you know, my guy is. So, and of course, leave it to, you know, Mother Nature to conspire that there's this plague going around when you were supposed to start training jiu-jitsu. So I'm sure I'm about to get out of shape. Although I am converting my backyard back into the 36 chambers.
Nice.
Because that's where the martial arts school started. So I'm going to start training the wife out there and start training myself. Just, you know, take it back. I got kicking shields. I got pads or whatever. Might build, you know, I'm gonna see what gear I can save up for and then just roll out, you know, put it in the back shed. So I'm excited. You know, just get my sweat on. Anyways, now we are time for the co-main event, brother. Are you excited? I'm excited. As you mentioned, I was really, really, really excited for this fight. Really excited for this fight on so many levels. Yeah.
You nailed that one spot on.
I think there was a couple things that I was really looking forward to. Obviously, I'm very biased. Weiling Jiang fights the way I fight. She fights my style. She's very open with not only her Sonda and her Sancha, but she is a Tai Chi practitioner, comes from the hometown of Yongstai Tai Chi. She also uses a lot of Bonghua and combines it with wrestling. I suspect she's a Xingyi person. So this is the first time I've ever been able to say, you know, hey, God, Rebus is beating the shit out of it.
This ground and pound that Rebus is.
She's in it. Oh, God. Yeah. So, here it comes. Now I sleep. What's my guy's name? What's my guy? Now I sleep my hand under just like this. What's our guy? Renato? Renato? Remember? Remember when he said him when he did that interview with Weidman? With Weidman, he's like, what you gonna do?
Oh yeah, when they were practicing and he's like, I'm gonna choke him out. He's talking too much trash.
Yeah, he's like, what you gonna do when Anderson grab you and choke you out? And he's like, how is Anderson gonna choke me out? He's like, just like this, I pick you up, I put you on the ground, I put my hand just like this under your chin. Anyways,
that is, I was excited for this fight too, but I was more excited about Romero and Adesanya, and it just You called it perfectly, man. This was one of the most beautiful fights I've ever watched in my life. This,
yeah.
Joanna and Wade Davis,
but it was
tagged each other for 25 minutes, complete, like, straight.
But
no let up either way. They just completely threw haymaker bombs at each other's head for 25 straight minutes.
Well, it was time, because if you think about it this way, through the journey that we've had with the UFC watching it together, you and I were always hardcore fans. But it wasn't until, obviously, The Ultimate Fighter and stuff like that, to where you started bringing in other people. We could convince other people to come over to the house and watch it with us, right? And then we'd watch it, and there'd be a lot of casuals, and they didn't know, and they're all excited about, like, Chuck Liddell, right? And stuff like that. So, and then Anderson came in, and we're like, yo, this dude is the truth, and nobody wanted to hear it. But it wasn't until the Anderson versus Chael that it really started making people realize that the 185 division was the division to watch, right? So I feel like with women's MMA, everybody knows Ronda, everybody jocks Ronda. They didn't really know what it was, and I felt like this strawweight fight, despite the fact that we had been talking about how ill Rose was, you know, and how ill Joanna was, nobody was really watching until that fight kind of changed the world. And we needed that. It took the attention off waiting for another Ronda. And it started to say, look, now you've got between Zhang and between Amanda Nunes, you have got some titans in women's MMA. And it's not just about superstars. It's about divisions that breed really good fighters. And what was very interesting is I don't think people got it. It's like, I think we would have had a different performance of Zhang if she hadn't had to move around her fight camp so much. But it is what it is. She was a soldier. She showed up. And Joanna, you know.
Yeah, because it did look like rounds two and maybe round four, she was a little bit winded. Yeah. But she would catch that second win and get – she never was fully gassed. But you could tell it looked weird. It was like, I've never seen her like that.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? Yeah, absolutely. And so the issue at hand, the concern or whatever, you know, I think one of the things was, you know, did you agree with the decision?
Oh, yeah. I agreed with it.
Yeah, I mean.
Because like I said, I had her winning, I think, 1, 3, and 5. But it was a close fight. I wouldn't have been mad if they voted for Joanna either. I mean, I would have, you know, I was like, it's close enough to where you got to give it to the champ. I'm that old school. You got to really beat the champ to be the champ. But I felt like Joanna gave it her all. It just was looking at that head. You can't say she's the champion the way she is swole up like
well,
that.
Yeah, and I mean, when
you know what I mean, in that tight of a fight. I feel like the damage to your person has to weigh in, and so much damage like that. People, if y'all have not seen that fight or the results of that fight, there are before and after pictures that you can look up on Google. Just look up before and after Joanna Jędrzejczyk. That's JEDRZEJCZYK. Jędrzejczyk. Yeah. You look at before and after, and you tell me you give that the championship in a razor tight fight. Because Zhang Weili was busted up too, but Joanna's whole head was just massively swollen.
By the way, here comes
like more than I've ever seen the outcome of a fight.
You know
like
where that comes from.
That Rockman back in the boxing days, he had.
You know what that comes from?
Big ass hematoma.
That comes from because that shows how good Joanna is to where she did not catch a single blow to her chin or her cheek. She caught it in her forehead because her head was down. Like, you know, she's such a good technician. You should look like that. You should be lifting your chin. Knockouts come from lifting your chin. She was taking everything on her forehead. So, by the way, Brandon Moreno versus Jussier Formiga is about to happen. I don't understand Brandon Moreno.
Yeah.
He first of all,
I'm excited.
I am.
For this.
Brandon Moreno confuses me because he has that terrible name, right? Assassin Bibi. Remember, you got it. Black kids in Spanish class got to say in the back of your throat, "Assassin, baby." But he also be doing all these Shaolin Sanda hand signals, and he—I don't think he trains that shit, so it confuses me. let's go back to Zhang versus Jurjejic. Let's talk about the tail of the tape. Five-round fight. Zhang had 170 strikes to Joanna's 196. 165 significant strikes to 186 of Joanna. Interesting enough, here's where I get pissed. They only gave Zhang one takedown. That's not okay.
I don't really remember. I don't really remember the
takedowns. I counted five takedown defense, three successful. So, round by round, this is great. See, when I do this by myself, it's boring when I do it. See, when I do it with you, this is great. Total strikes, 30 to 30, man. And they don't really show where they went to the body or the head, which is interesting. 30 strikes each person. Round two, 23 strikes for Zhang versus Joanna's 38. One takedown for Zhang. That's the one takedown. But they gave Joanna a pass. I didn't see much stuff on the ground where she passed, so that's kind of funny style to me. These judges, bro, this shit's got to be up on a board because they're sort of fun. 20 to 32 significant strikes. 39 to 40 total strikes for round three. 38 to 38 significant strikes. 41 to 41 total strikes. I love that you're seeing these numbers. This shows Zhang's game. If you hit me, I will hit you right back like a Sancho player. Significant strikes, 40 to 40. The tail of round five tells us a lot. 37 to 47 total strikes in Joanna's favor. Significant strikes, 37 to 46 in Joanna's favor.
It's like they were dead even except for the body. So it says 96 to 96 to the head, 58 to 58 to the leg, and 11 to 32 to the body.
Right.
That is bananas. There was like three different rounds where they had the exact same amount of strikes.
So I think if you go back and watch it, I think you'll see that the judges really tried to ignore the takedowns. So. Great fight. What's the future? What does Joanna do? Does she come back for a rematch? I know Dana wants it to make his money. I could see it. But then that's going to happen.
Who doesn't want to run that fight back,
do you run it back? Do you run it back immediately? Do you run it back out? You know, do you give her, what do you do? Then also we're going to find out the next fight, right? We got Rose versus Jessica.
Right. Cause we got, right, and so the winner of that should be able to get the title fight because of the fact that both of them just lost the title. Rose lost it to Jessica after on a fight she was winning, and then, you know, I wouldn't call it a fluke, but, you know, the way she got dipped on her head and knocked out, it wasn't like a knockout punch or kick.
Agreed.
Then you got Tatiana Suarez, and Joanna's actually ranked fourth. So would you... I mean, that was an amazing fight, though. So I wouldn't mind her jumping all three of those. But it seems like the right thing to do would be give the winner of Rose and Andrade.
Yeah.
Of
course.
Well, Andrade would be a rematch with Wei Li, and Rose would be a brand new fight. But you know what I mean? Her last fight was basically her title.
Still old school. I'm sort of like, I feel like you got to go back to the bottom of the pile a little bit, right? So whoever loses, I feel like Joanna should fight Suarez. Ooh.
That would be a good fight.
What's going on here with Formiga? Did he catch Brandon?
Yeah,
did he catch him, or did he just slip?
He's definitely got it deep. But I mean, you know,
did he catch him with a strike?
He's not sweaty.
That's why I was confused.
I looked down at the rankings real quick, so I missed it. I looked up. They were standing, and then I looked back, and he's just had the standing guillotine.
Oh, but he's out.
Down to the floor now. Oh, he's out.
I think this is where Moreno.
What was that? He was trying to.
Yeah, I think.
Where's my target? Here's my target. I gotta find his
Moreno's
hand.
Moreno's about to start working.
Moreno is killing me with those knock. It looked like he's knocking on the door.
With the ref, you got to stay active, right? You got to stay active, and the ref because the ref will assume certain things, right? So he's trying to game. That's what I keep talking about with John Jones. He knows how to game judges, and a lot of people do not know how to game judges. I think when you spend a background in boxing or you spend a background in Muay Thai, you learn how to do things that impress the judges. They don't result in the fight, right? They're not good fight techniques, but you also have to understand that part of this is persuading the judges, you know? And I went through some of that, you know, not only in tournaments, not only doing forms and doing fighting, but also I've seen that in terms of like competitions to raise money or helping entrepreneurs, where I try to explain that to them. Like, it's like, yo, the guy over here has a terrible idea, but he at least shook all the judges' hands, right? You came in here with a great idea and you were arrogant as hell. You got to work. You know what I mean? You got to work the judges.
Yeah.
So my thing is, I would like to see Suarez versus Joanna, and then the winner of Rose and Jessica fight for the belt. All right. Anything else on that fight?
Yeah. It was just incredible, yes, man. For me, the thing that stood out was the commentators who kept saying, oh, this might be one of the greatest women's fights ever, might be one of the greatest women's championship fights ever. I felt like it was one of the most greatest fights I've ever watched. Men, women, championship, boxing, Muay Thai,
kickboxing. I think it's up there.
It was an incredible fight, and I was like on my feet.
Yeah, I think it's up there with Gastelum and Adesanya. In terms of amazing fights. It didn't have...
Or Shogun Hendu.
It didn't have the ups and downs, though. It didn't have any ups or downs, right? Like, you didn't... It was a good fight and it was a war.
Right.
But it didn't have... Oh, man, that was nice.
That up kick kind of dropped.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Hey, that transition was nasty. Fort Minor is just like, yo, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, and look at Moreno's knee. Look at his left knee.
Yeah, that's a move right there.
He's struggling. You might want to grow up.
It looks
you
like
you may want to grow up. You might want to start being the assassin teenager.
Yeah, assassin teenager. Exactly. You got to get rid of that baby. Even assassin preteen is a step up.
Adolescent doll.
Assassin toddler.
Assassin. it's hilarious.
If he gets caught with his arm,
yeah, that's right. You know, he was doing that activity before.
Whoa, right? What was that? Saying.
And especially it's interesting being in Brazil. There's no crowd to encourage the ground stuff. Yeah, that's dangerous.
Ooh, yep. Vamos aí.
Ooh, I think for.
Oh, we throw spinners. Huh?
I think for Omega trains on a top team with our guy, with Dean Thomas. Ooh, nice.
Whoa. Nice. Okay. Moreno caught a couple hot ones. I mean, he hit a couple.
Come on, UFC. I like a lot about you, but you really got to get better with your website. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, it does seem.
It does? Where do you see that stuff? Where are you seeing that?
Sure.
Oh,
you're a
Sure Dog. Okay, yeah. No, I think he's one of Dean. I think he went to Dean Thomas.
Yeah, sometimes they're wrong. Yeah, they're outdated a little wrong, bit with the teams.
That's one of Dean's guys. Him, Davi Ramos, all those guys. He's really good at teaching jiu-jitsu guys how to throw hands.
And where's Moreno and Trim Jim?
He don't even know where that is, bro.
Baja California.
Brandon Moran. Yeah, he might be that. Yeah, I was looking at that before. I was trying to figure out what his style was, and I couldn't. So I gave up because it made me mad.
Yeah, where did you find the style?
I do a lot of cross-referencing of stuff. So I might even, like right now, I might even go Brandon Moreno style, right? And then, let's see. Dwayne Bang. Here it is. Brandon Moreno is no longer just a jiu-jitsu fighter after training with Team Elevation. There it is. That's why he throws stuff like that. Yeah. So it looks like Dwayne Bang Ludwig at Team. So he trains with Joseph Benavides. Oh, this is interesting. So this is a flyweight fight. It's crazy. It's crazy. You're like feeding your competition here, Benavidez. Okay. Shall we move on to the main event of the evening, of the afternoon?
The main
of the afternoon. Let me tell you something. Let me start with this. People will agree, people will disagree. I don't care. You know already that I'm hella biased for Izzy. You know that I'm an Adesanya fan, and that dude's like my family. But I'm going to go here with y'all. There's no reason that Yoel Romero should have been in the ring other than the fact that he got called out. Okay? This cat is one of the number one BS artists in mixed martial artists. And y'all don't, casual fans, and I'm going to call you that, don't know that because you started watching this for the first time. Y'all weren't there when me and Brain saw him get knocked out by Fei Zhao in Strikeforce. Am I lying? Y'all weren't there when he was playing those little stool games, right? Remember that? Kennedy. Yeah,
Kennedy and he did it a couple times.
This dude is really good at fighting, grappling and wrestling, right? So you could give him the Weidman and you could give him, you could give him Jacare because these are guys who are using strikes to set up a shoot. But other than that, that guy is not who you think he is, okay?
Oh, Jacare and Weidman is the other ones that he did.
Those are guys that he catches with like exploding knee, right? Because when they go into a shoot, they get frustrated and they shoot with him because he stands in one place and waits, right? But let me ask you this: why didn't he try that with Brunson? Oh, wait, he got touched up by Brunson. We didn't bring that up, right?
Yeah, but he KO'd him.
Yeah, I did late.
Late. But that was the same thing with Kennedy. Kennedy was touching him up, and that's why he didn't want to answer the bell in the third. And then that extra little 30-45 seconds that he got to rest and then came out and knocked Kennedy out.
Playing those games, bro. And so I think going into this, Israel knew what he was getting into, that this dude was not playing games. This guy was not going to be playing fair. He already came, already coming up to the weigh-ins talking about, How many years? Like, come on, bro. Let's just be honest. You have missed weight hella times.
What was that?
Hey, Assassin Teenager is doing great. That was an amazing transition.
Yeah, that first round, Formiga was bullying him, but he came back.
I think Formiga is tired now. So anyways, how do we describe this fight?
But yeah, like even after the first couple times that Yoel exploded and landed, you could tell Izzy was like, "I'm not going to sit here and take this all day."
He's like, "He's not moving." So let's talk about what it really happened. The fight that I saw, and maybe you saw a different fight. They both come out, and first of all, let's talk about some subtle stuff that people didn't catch. The wife turns to me, and this is a transition, by the way. I should have said this earlier. I want to thank Weilin Jiang for getting my wife to ask me if she could learn to train kickboxing now because it was her who inspired her. So thank you very much, Weilin Jiang. Thank you so much. Nice. Okay, moving on. The first thing she noticed is she sees Yoel Romero and she says, "Why is his fingernails and toes painted black?" And I said, "Because he pretends that he's the soldier of God and he's super Christian, but really he's into Santeria and he's trying to call in some Ogun metal energy."
I don't practice. You know what I mean? Hey, but what was that in the first minute where he like was just? I mean, I get the feeling out process, but he literally took two steps into the octagon and then
took two steps, stood there, and put his hands up.
And I'm like, "Yo, Izzy's the champion, bro. You're the one with knockout power." I mean, not saying that Izzy doesn't have knockout power, but. Why are you gotta go take the strap,
so
bro?
Many people. I'm like, I'm not. I just, I want to quote. I wish I had this quote. Like, remember when Nate checked Brandon Schaub, and Brandon was like, "Oh, I'm so surprised that Connor didn't knock out Mayweather," and he was like, "That just shows your ignorance." Like, I just want to sample that over and over again. Like,
right?
That's it. And I was trying not to be an a-hole because I want people to watch the sport, but I'm like, bro, if you would watch the sport for a while, you'll understand. When you come to the fight and you're trying to take a belt, standing in the center of the octagon still and putting your hands up is a sign of somebody who's been hurt already. It's not the sign of aggression and it's going to win a belt. So he already started in a weird place. Now,
right.
Izzy comes out AZ's throwing flowers. He's on all red. You ask him in the press conference, what is that about? Is he? And they said, oh, it's mourning his dead cat. His cat did die, but that's not what he's doing. Red is the color of Shango, which is fire and lightning, who is the traditional rival of Ogun. So he knew he was playing with this dude's head. This was some Santeria versus Yoruba stuff, because that's the tribe Izzy is from. So he was already starting with the mind games. Like, if you think you're going to counter-strike a counter-striker, you're out your mind. Okay? So,
right.
I timed it. Yoel literally stood there for 2 minutes, right?
Right.
I think if we had had my man, your man, our guy, the greatest judge and ref of all time, Herb Dean, he would have said something, right? He would have told Yoel, are you going to fight or not? Because I'll disqualify you, right?
And then when the ref did, but I mean, he waited till like the third or fourth round to be like, yo, y'all got to.
Right. You got to do something, right? But he said, remember he said that?
And then even Joe Rogan was like, what? This is crazy. We've heard the refs egg them on before.
We saw it in Ngannou versus Black Beast, where he was like, yo, you guys are actually going to fight.
Right. You guys actually have to fight
Arm and disqualify you. You know that, right? You have to actually fight.
And let's be real. In Pride, you had the yellow card where they would take 10% of your purse if you are not entertaining the fans.
They should have given Yoel a yellow card. Because, again, he was not the aggressor. He was not doing anything. And he didn't really do anything offensive until the third round or the fourth round when he started those ridiculous takedowns, which is my next point. All those people who had all these concepts about Israel has no takedown defense and is terrible off his back, where yet? Where are you at? Because rounds 4 and 5 showed you that you don't know what you're talking about. Hey, put your hands up, man. Put your hands up, though. He was getting that work. He's getting that Mexican boxing in. I was disappointed Izzy didn't get the finish, but I'm not surprised. I'm really not surprised. By all means, I should like Yoel Romero, you know, but I also know that he's hella full of shit. And if you think I'm picking on him, go watch a documentary on Netflix called Icarus. Just watch it.
What is that?
I'm not going to spoil it. Remember, I keep saying sometimes. See, that's the thing that people get wrong about, like people like Eddie Bravo or like Kanye, where it's like, well, you should look that up. It's not to be an a-hole. It's like, I should not affect your research. If I say to you, hey, go to this restaurant, right? I shouldn't tell you what to order. I should just tell you to go to the restaurant. And if you like the food, we could talk about our favorite dishes, right? So that's my attitude. Watch Icarus and then get back to me.
But so my whole thing was that, okay, my first point was when Yoel started the fight, was like, yo, you need to go take the belt from this man. He owns it. You want it, go get it. And then after the fight, he started screaming, ranting, and raving about Israel running.
Hold on.
You have a point. But you just stood there the whole time and wanted him to come to you, and then you accuse him of running. Romero's
training partner? Hold on, can you just answer the question?
Mr. Pico Graham, running for the hit and run.
John Jones.
Snorting that coke
before a title
fight. What
did John Jones do against Reyes? I'm confused. That's not running. Thank you. So full of it. This dude is so full of it.
He ran into, and don't get me wrong, I'll give John Jones credit that in the three fights that he was tested the most, the first Gustafson fight, the first Cormier fight,
not the first.
Well, I think the first Cormier fight was a really razor-thin decision as well. Second one, obviously he knocked him out, but then he tested positive.
If you literally look at the scorecards. for the second Cormier fight, if it had gone to...
Yeah, no, Cormier started out great.
Until he got hit.
But what I'm saying is the
fight... He was winning. Okay.
Right, right, exactly. But that's what I'm saying. In the four fights that went the... Yeah. Or now five.
Yes.
That went the distance, that the opponent... You know, the first Gustafson fight, the first DC fight, and, you know, the fights, the last three with Anthony Smith, Thiago Santos, yeah, and now Dominic Reyes. I will give Jones credit. In the fourth and fifth rounds, he turned it up.
Yeah.
And obviously, he had the fight IQ to know, as you said earlier, he played to the judges. He knows the judges have short memory, that the last things they remember is the most weighing on their conscience.
What does our brother Josh I always say?
And so if you win the fourth and fifth rounds and you're the champion, doesn't matter if you lost the first three. What does our brother Josh I always say? What does he say?
One person won the fight and another person won the competition. Right? Right? That's
right.
What it was.
Right. See, now that's how I felt about the Anderson Silva Bisping fight. Bisping won within the rules of the rule book, but he definitely got his ass.
See, here's the thing about that fight that's an issue for me. It's like, Anderson, you know you're in England and you know this guy's cheated. Why would you play into it? The second one is that's a little bit more complicated for me, is given all that stuff. I don't know. I just I also feel like Anderson did not do himself any favors by trying not to hurt that guy. The third is the real one that is an issue is like, come on, Herb Dean. You see this dude just spit out his mouthpiece. Come on, bro.
Yeah. But I don't agree with the whole he wasn't trying to hurt him thing. I think he felt like he can get a highlight, one punch, one kick knockout. And instead of throwing combos to finish him when he had him hurt, he would back up and then be like, yo, like, let me get this highlight real knockout. That's my personal opinion. It could have been, yeah, definitely. I don't want, because we know that he changed his whole outlook on fighting after he busted Rich Franklin's face in. Right, he was like, I didn't mean for this guy to have to go get reconstructive facial surgery after I fought him. I just wanted his belt. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that messed him up a little. But at the same time, like, he still was a killer after that. And I felt like that was his chance to be. I just felt like if he would have threw a couple combos, he definitely would have got the finish. And I felt like he had Bisping hurt multiple times and then backed up and was more like, watch me, I'm going to kick this dude in his face. And then did they just give Moreno the victory? They did, because he's celebrating. Yep, winner by unanimous decision. Yep. Assassin baby. Wow, I thought Jussier won the first and the third, but it was a good fight. But by no means, like, even though I say that this main event with Adesanya and Romero reminded me of Derek Lewis and Ngannou, it wasn't as disappointing. I still felt it was a bit of an entertaining fight. I felt Adesanya fought smart. I felt that he was like, yo, if you're not going to come to me, like, I'll go in there and I'll land some leg kicks, right. I'll land some combos, but I'm not going to stand in the pocket and trade with you. Like, that.
It's not even just stupid leg kicks
for me to do. Oh, no, it wasn't. He was landing combos.
Kicked him in his armpit.
He was landing combos.
He kicked a wrestler in his armpit. Like, you're so whack, you can't even grab my leg and take me down.
Right. And that's, I mean, Izzy went out there and got it done, bro. Plain and simple. I know people are upset, but you have to also think about the fact that Joanna and Wei Li went out there and punched each other in the face for 25 straight minutes. One of the most entertaining fights that has ever happened in the history of violence. And then the next fight was a bit slow paced, a bit. And again, it's two counter fighters. You can't expect two counter fighters to go out there and slug it out the way two.
And look at us. And also look at what happened with what's his name? Vitor. Vitor's a counter fighter. He tried to get off stuff on Anderson. He didn't sit there and just watch, you know?
Right. And I mean, kudos to Izzy because he didn't get frustrated the way Anderson did when he fought Damian Maia and Talis Ladies, right? Because he was like, yo, y'all both were like, I didn't even want to fight you. You're a fellow Brazilian. But since you want to talk that shit, talking about you're going to take my arm off, you know, I got eight legs as a spider. You're going to break one off and take it home as a trophy with my belt. And now you standing over there. I'm the champion. Come get it. And Anderson got pissed, and then they started. Started the whole, cocky, and he's mocking people.
Yep.
And let's be real, that caught up to him in the Weidman fight. But I never felt that he was being cocky in those two fights. I thought he was frustrated. Because he was like, yo, here's the center of the octagon. I'm right here. Why are you way over there?
The Weidman stuff was actually more of a, he was trying to get a mind game going and intimidate, and it just wasn't going to work.
Right. Right. But I think where he went wrong in the Weidman fight was he was slipping the first three punches, but then he wasn't throwing those counters. Because you could see Weidman would throw three, Anderson would slip, and Weidman would kind of flinch off because he knew that counter was coming.
Right.
And then it never came. So after two rounds of that, Weidman was like, I'm not going to stop throwing after the third punch. I'm going to throw five, six, seven, and just keep going. And then one luckily landed.
And he trained for it. I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, I don't think Anderson realized after a while, there's so much footage on you. You're the tyrant. People are studying to beat you. You know what I mean?
Right. And almost like, you know, basically, when you're the champ and you're dominating like that, everybody's bringing their Super Bowl during that fight. And I feel like if Anderson got that rematch today, it'd be a different fight. Weidman is obviously not the fighter that he was before. Anderson, even as old as he is, his skill is still there.
You don't have
his athleticism and his speed is not as great. But his fighter IQ makes up for that.
That would be a great fight. Because Weidman clearly is broken. And Anderson, you know, can't take a leg kick, but I think he could kill him. Yeah.
Right. And he would have to fight the smarter fight rather than the...
Yeah, but he fights with his hands up now, right? As he did against Izzy.
Right. Yeah. Which was an incredible...
But again, you know that because you're a fight fan. As other people who are like, oh, you know, and it's like, no, I can't even talk to you. You're not dealing with reality.
Yeah, and especially when the casuals come in and they're like, oh, I've seen Anderson Silva's highlight reel. I've seen Israel Adesanya's highlight reel. There's going to be a highlight reel fight. And then it was, again, two counter fighters, two amazing, unorthodox strikers. They still gave an entertaining fight. Way more entertaining than Romero brought. And it just, I don't know, man. It seems like it's becoming a trend with, like, for me, it started with Darren Till and Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, where they kind of pussyfooted around for 25 minutes, and then when the fight was over and Darren Till was announced as the winner, dude, you just showed more aggression in 30 seconds of the post-fight interview than you did in 25 minutes of fighting. And then Romero did the same exact thing. Oh, he's running! He's running! Shut your ass the fuck up. We didn't go after him. If you was chasing him around and he was running, then I'd agree with you. That's not what happened. He was talking that horse shit.
Yoel Romero. I did until I I'm a fan. This. Now I'm like, nah, now I got to walk away.
You're right. I lost a little bit of respect for him.
I didn't call you out on the weight call. I didn't call you out on the weight cut problems. I didn't call you out on the legal kick to Whitaker's leg and trying it the second time. I didn't call you out on the stool gate. You're John Jones. But if you're going to start doing that, if you want to pretend that you're such a stickler for the rules, I got you. Icarus, Netflix, I got you.
Icarus, I got to write this down, bro. I got to write this down. Because I already forgot. And then you said it again. Yep. I'm like,
Nope. Watch it. I mean, I think you got some time, right?
Yep.
jerk. Speaking of which, hey, Cage Cousins, you guys got to help us out. I'm going to start a petition. I'm going to petition Disney to allow us to watch Black Widow from home through Disney Plus. So we're going to send that out. Please sign it. Because I ain't going to no theaters. Theaters are already nasty.
And when does it come out?
And the federal government is saying, dude, the federal government's saying this is going to go on for 3 months. So holler. So,
right.
Anywho. Hey, I really appreciate this. Thank you, Brain. Can we do more of these? Good. Let's do any more. We'll do let's do a J Electronica album, and maybe we'll do one with Adisa, okay? But now you see how easy this is, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'll get this up very soon.
Right. For sure. And happy birthday, Sean Price. We got to do
that.
As well. I mean, we'll let it marinate. I think you're right. I think we do it around August, the anniversary of his passing. But like, I literally even found a playlist on YouTube today with all kinds of versions that I've never heard before. That I was like, "What is this?" And I think it's just like, all features just featuring, and it would just play Sean's verse and go to the next one. So like, I got a lot of research to do on that. You know, obviously, that's
man,
my favorite.
I don't even
rapper.
Know if I can call. I have here's what I have: the greatest. I have my favorite. I have the one I like the most. You know what I mean? Like, I just have different categories. So, anyways.
Yeah. For me, it's just like, I could be in a pissed off ass move, and I just turn some Sean on, and I'll be laughing.
Remember, I told you that story, dude. When my dad died, I just, you know, we got in the car, and I couldn't even talk, much less start the engine. And, you know, the missus being brilliant the way she is, she literally turned on the music and started playing Sean Price. And after about an hour, I just started laughing. And all of a sudden I could like light a cigarette and turn the car on. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my guy. That's always going to be my guy. I love him. So,
nice.
Anywho, I'm gonna jump off, get some lunch and finish these fights.
Yeah. Let's do these. Let's do these. You know, our round zero, the big one. A dream is always going to be our staple, but I definitely think this is needed for us to do these recaps.
And we may, given the travel stuff, we may need to be doing the big round zero this way, bro. We may have to get – this may be the new future, okay? So get used to it. All right, brother. Thank you so much. I'll let you know when this is out. Appreciate you. Talk to you soon.
Yep.
And without further ado, yeah!